My name is Velocity Child. Every Thursday at the stroke of midnight, step into the parlor of Fallen Woman, a weekly soiree of artists on the fringe with underground thoughts and voices shared with uncensored abandon through provocative opinions, seductive humor, candor, and song.
Candor. Go ahead.
Welcome to Fallen Woman. My name is Velocity Child, and I'm here with Severely Maine.
Hello.
Face Boy.
Hello.
Mr. Gorgeous. Hi.
Hi.
Such a sexy gay crew tonight.
This is a fun little bunch.
Well, what, how would you identify Face?
Bisexual.
Yes.
A completely queer group, that's for sure.
Oh, definitely.
We've all sucked
myself
dick.
Included. Yeah.
Like, can you work in New York as a performer without having sucked a dick?
Let's I don't know.
Be realistic here. Yeah. Not even to get a job, just, you know, to have a little standing.
I was going to say you made it sound like almost like it was a prerequisite, like casting couch.
Well, like, it's kind of a prerequisite that if you haven't sucked a dick, what are you doing performing in New York? Come on.
Yeah.
It was the yeah. City queerdos.
Yeah.
Jump in, it's fun.
You know, yesterday obviously was Gay Pride.
Oh.
And,
oh. You don't say.
And I grew up in the village, so mm-hmm. I've been, you know, a,
and
a
you
part
live,
of this.
And you live in your the home.
That's right.
You grew up in.
I've moved back to take care of my mother, who's 84 years old. And I've been thinking about Pride Parade through the years. And it started in 1970 as the one-year anniversary after the Stonewall riots. And, of course, I was only five then, so I wasn't quite involved at that time. But by the time I was 15, 1980, I started getting involved. I was still not out as bisexual, but I was out as a supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And the parade was not a celebration. It was still a protest. And we did not have support from a lot of the communities. The police were not protecting us. We were spat on. It was a dangerous situation. We were fighting. And last night, I wanted to go to the end of the pier just to watch the sunset. I knew it was Gay Pride. You know, I'd done my
support.
But
favorite spot you like.
My favorite spot. I'm not going to say which pier.
No.
Yeah.
No. People are going to fuck it up because it's this one pier that has, like, that no one goes to because it's undeveloped. So I was going to go down there last night, and I got stopped by the police, and they said, "Do you have a ticket?" And I'm like thinking to myself, son of a bitch. I got spat on. I got yelled at. I live here. I want to watch a sunset, and I have to have a ticket to a party to go to the place that I fought for everyone else to be there. Now, on the one hand, it pissed me off, and then on the other hand, I was like, maybe I should think about this more. You know, is this a situation where it's classist? If you can't afford a ticket, you can't party with your fellow gays, lesbians, mm-hmm. bisexuals, transgendered? Or is it a situation where, hey, we have come so far that we can take over all of the goddamn piers.
Yeah.
And you can't get there unless you have a ticket.
Yeah.
I'm
That's
torn.
I prefer to see it that way.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, it really is both of them, but luckily there is so many other things happening over this, like, this past entire weekend. There was so much that people who didn't have the money or desire to go to the piers for the parties there have so many other options, which I think that's nice, and kind of goes back to the second thing you were saying, where, like, we've got a wealth here, and of places to be, and but it is annoying.
And there is a larger picture, when I think about it, that
the way Mardi Gras can be, in the sense of with the crowd,
mm-hmm.
with the sheer size.
Oh, yeah, I don't have the reference. I've never been to New Orleans, so I don't have that.
Crazy. You just pressed tightly in the middle of the street, and Sometimes you don't even have to walk. The crowd just moves your body for you. It's that tight. Sorry, you were saying Facebook.
Stonewall and the entire gay rights movement began, was the leadership was transgendered. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people know this these days. I think the people that I'm sitting with.
I saw it on Drag History.
This. Okay, so yeah. You know this.
Transgender well, women of color.
It was a really
yes,
good
transgender
episode.
Women of color. And of mm-hmm. not great means as well. And after Stonewall, when they would hang out there, they would go to the piers. And the piers was a place where you would feel protected, where people would look out for each other. And this was their meeting place. And today, the piers are very well developed. And believe it or not, the husband, doctor and lawyer, who have moved into the neighborhood are complaining about the transgendered homeless people who are making too much noise at night. And it's like, do you have any idea who fought for you to be husband and husband out, you know, out and about and accepted and not beaten and jailed? Shut up.
Yeah, no, I think it's
and not just shut up, but use your money and your influence to create programs that will help these people who are struggling and deal with a little bit of nighttime noise.
It's fucking New York City already.
Yeah. Anybody who complains about noise in New York City, I'm just move somewhere else. Please just move somewhere else. We need people out of this fucking place. Like, move out of New York. It would be easier for all of us. Mm-hmm.
When I'm not here, I can't sleep. It's too quiet. No. I need the noise.
Yeah.
I want to hear people yelling.
It's almost its own white noise.
Yeah.
New York has its very specific brand of white noise. You can't buy that in a machine.
Valleys of sirens.
Yeah, and when you're out, my mom has a house up in Cold Spring, which is a beautiful town. I love it. I love going there. But it's so quiet that when you hear anything, you're like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. You're like, oh, there's a murderer. Great, there's a murderer here.
I once went up there with my girlfriend at the time. I can't remember which girlfriend it was. And we decided to camp in the backyard in a little tent. My reputation is well earned.
Many tents?
I've had many tents over the years.
Yes.
So we're in the backyard. And
even at camp?
Even at camp. That was a teepee. That wasn't a tent. That was a teepee.
I fucked in the teepee.
I know it. We heard about it.
We heard about it.
Somebody wrote a Yelp review about it.
And it was positive.
And it was. You got a lot of stars, too.
Some in the backyard.
Not the girl off the truck.
In the tent. And I hear, and the first thing I'm thinking is, there's a goddamn pervert. Because I'm from New York.
Oh, I'm thinking bear.
I was thinking Chipotle. Outside.
Yeah. But
there's a heavy breather outside my tent right now.
And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck this is. And so I go to check it out, and it was a deer.
Aww.
It was a beautiful deer. Just going,
full science issues.
And I'm like, damn.
All of us jumped to the most negative.
Yes.
I was like, that's New York, I guess.
But it is. But I mean, really, like, how fucked up? You were trying to sleep, and the fucking deer walks up to your tent and is loud. Whatever.
So rude.
Fuck off, Bambi.
Yeah.
Fucking animals.
How do you guys feel about the kind of corporate takeover of the Pride Parade? That there are these corporations that traditionally have not been kind to the gay community, and in some cases, years back, hostile, and now they have floats because they know that it has a big exposure.
Because they want gay money.
Yeah.
Gay money is a thing. That's what it boils down to, is they want gay money, and, well, I don't have gay money, but gay money
is not actually paper or dollar money. I think gay currency is its own thing.
Yes,
like Bitcoin.
Gay. No, there's so much value in a good gay.
Yeah,
like that has its own amount of value. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
No, yeah, I think, going back to what you were saying, I think that it is interesting to see all these huge companies and huge corporations. I mean, really, even just, like, walking down Fifth Avenue and seeing all the stores, like, you know, this one's not on Fifth Avenue, but, like, Old Navy and Barn, like, all these, you know, all the window displays are all gay, and it's, like, I wonder if the Old Navy in, you know, Arkansas has the gay pride window.
No.
I'm just wondering, you know, it's like, so what is the...
Or, like, Disney's how many...
That's true.
Like, how many of these stores that are doing pride displays and stuff have, like, bothered transgender people using it when it comes to dressing rooms and things like that? So... they're probably not as supportive as they want to seem, but, you know, in the realm of acceptance, these are the things we, as a community, wanted, kind of.
Well, also, though, I mean, I think that if you think about it in the sense of I'm trying to look at it in a very positive way instead of just being about making money and businesses, you know, gaining from that. But for every shopper that goes into a store that isn't gay or doesn't understand gay culture or doesn't have, you know, from out of town, people that are like, oh, I keep saying Old Navy because it feels like blue jeans. Yeah, Gap. It's like, just like Gap. Someone from that's visiting as a tourist from out of town that goes into Gap in New York City because it's the big Gap store and we're going to shop because we're on vacation. And they go in and they see, like, the big gay display. I think it sends a message to them that says, like, okay, maybe this isn't, like, the end of the world if we acknowledge someone else's life.
I think that's, like, the kind of double-edged sword this is, where, like, we have them just wanting queer money and support when they don't maybe completely deserve it. There is a positive that the visual is there and will hopefully have an impact on less evolved brains.
Yeah.
There was one woman that I saw yesterday, and she had a t-shirt that said, "Smile with Pride, Colgate."
Interesting.
Okay.
Okay. Smile with Pride. Really? Did Colgate
do you think that was deliberate, or do you think she just happened to be a tourist and just wore that t-shirt on the wrong
day? She looked a little touristy.
Oh, wow.
But no. I think it had to do with pride.
On it?
But I think it was the Colgate company.
I was like, was there a Colgate float? Because I would love that. I would be into that.
Somebody on a big fucking toothpaste tube or something.
Like a toothpaste tube that's like a mechanical bowl.
Yeah, and think of the dental floss G-strings that could happen.
See, there's so many look options.
I'm
imagining like a Squatty Potty float.
Yeah.
With RuPaul being like one of their biggest
I'm upset they yanked Kathy Griffin from
CNN.
Squatty Potty pulled her promo.
Really?
Yeah, she was supposed to be the new spokesperson, but after the Trump incident, their main company headquarters is in Utah, and they just said she's not representing their ideals and blah, blah, blah.
So maybe she went, sorry.
Torn that with that RuPaul giving away, being sponsored by Squatty Potty, and then them dissing Kathy Griffin. I was just like, I don't know what to make of Squatty Potty. I'm on the fence. What do you guys think? Sadie,
nice.
She's not having it.
Right. Extra guest. I was like, what do you think?
Sadie has spoken.
Yeah, she's not pleased.
Hi, Sadie.
About that.
She wants her treats and she wants them. No.
Well, it's 11:02. She gets her treats at 11.
Well, she has a window between 11 and 1 every night. They get their treats. And so she's letting me know she knows what time it is.
But it's funny that they cut Kathy Griffin because that's silly. But RuPaul is probably one of their biggest advertisers when it comes to their
brand. People are pretty... funny. Gays are fairly conscious in having a clean hole.
Yeah.
This is true.
You know, so why not?
It
also keeps your tummy flat.
It does?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it. I can't afford one, so I just sit on the toilet in a cannonball shape and hope that everything happens as it should. I have one other thing that I wanted to say that I as far as like big companies, I really, really hope one day that Chick-fil-A finally is not about, because I love Chick-fil-A, and I have gone in disguise into Chick-fil-A so that gay people wouldn't realize that I was betraying.
Oh no, I go in full tranny.
Do you see? This is the thing though. It's like I don't want for other gays to judge me because those little fucking nuggets are so goddamn good, and that shitty pickle on the chicken sandwich. I live for that pickle, but I feel so guilty going in. I don't have a problem with being like the big old fag that wants waffle fries, but I just don't want for someone to be like, "Why would you support that?" The reality is, it's good chicken.
Yeah, having one in New York has been hard because we didn't have that option for a long time. And then it came here like right after all of that, and it was like, damn it, they just moved here and I can't eat here.
Right.
But when I was there, I totally saw another queer that I knew there. I was like, okay, I'm not the only one right now.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one breaking the rules.
Exactly.
But you know what?
If I do it when there's a coupons, they won't make as much money off me. Kind of justifies it.
I left out that Domino's pizza sucks.
Domino's pizzas? Are they bad?
Yeah, they're bad.
Oh yeah, they're bad.
I didn't know.
What's the name of that group? They go to really vicious anti-abortion protests. Really violent, like the most vilest of the vile ones.
Oh, I don't know.
And they fund them heavily.
Oh, they do? Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Bummer. Yeah, it sucks. You mentioned coupons.
Found that out 20 years ago. Yes.
I have no idea where this came from in my mind.
Yeah.
But the word faggot does still have negative connotations, but not nearly as much as it did 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, even like, in the medieval times, they had
what
that
was it in the medieval times?
And when they were doing a good old-fashioned witch burning,
they would burn a bundle of sticks.
She would be tied to the stake.
Right.
And then the fire would be going, and then they would take her friends and throw her onto the fire, her gay friends. It's like the diva and her gay friends were being burned at the same time. And that is where the correlation of the original term faggot, meaning bundle of sticks, or kindling.
Was people.
Then gradually became gay people because of that.
Oh.
Dang.
Look at that history lesson.
Thank you.
I'm a witch. I know these things.
So when I was growing up, you know, someone called you a faggot, it was like a very horrible gay
slur.
Gay slur. But now, hell, I'm a fag, you know, what's going on? It doesn't have the same weight. So for some reason, it popped in my head that if you want to call someone a faggot the way it meant 20 years ago, call them a coupon clipper. I don't know why, but it gets a laugh always, because I don't, people just relate. It's, where does this come from?
How are you going to come from that coupon clipping? Bitch.
Goddamn coupon clipper.
Where do you even clip coupons?
I'm kidding, I don't, but I do get those Michael's coupons on my phone.
Okay,
Michael's 50% off coupon.
Look at these coupon clippers.
I just spent
running
$60 making a headpiece
at Michael's
the other day, and I wish I would have
at Michael's Arts and Crafts. See, we put that money on something else.
You guys are coupon clippers.
You know what I like being accused of?
Well, no, I didn't have one, then. I wish I would have.
I like being accused of faggotry. I think that's really fun because in my mind, if someone says like that was pure faggotry. In my mind, I just picture a group of gays with ribbons, and they're ribbon dancing down the street. It's like, that is like faggotry at its best.
Yeah.
I love that.
It would be an honor.
Mm-hmm.
Honor to be thought of as that gay.
Mm-hmm. In that parade.
Well, speaking of dancing down the street with ribbons, where are you working this summer, Mr. Gorgeous?
I work in Provincetown.
Mm-hmm.
This is my fifth summer in a row. Yeah, and we usually do about 2 months there. This year, it's going to be a little bit shorter for me. But Provincetown, if you haven't been, is like a super amazing, amazing little dream town full of gay, gay, gay. But more importantly than just gay, people that are open-minded in general. And with that type of a show, we do 5 shows a week, and we have to bark before every show. So we stand on the street and are full on looks for about 2 hours and try to sell the show. But
for 2 hours?
Yeah, what's fun though is that everyone there really has to fight for their slot. I mean, there's probably about 15 shows that happen a night.
Wow.
In a very small town.
Realize.
Yeah. So, I mean,
is it bigger than Fire Island?
As far as entertainment?
Well, as far as like the town, like, cause if you could
it's not all spread out. Like, it's basically there's Commercial Street, one street. You could walk the entire like main strip in about 10 minutes max.
Mm-hmm.
But on that strip, there's probably 4 or 5 different venues, and they turn over about anywhere between 2 and 5 shows a night.
Wow. Uh-huh.
So you can find everything from like full on Broadway. You know, Kristen Chenoweth sings one night to, you know, like Bianca, who's her show there. A lot of the Rue Girls were there. A lot of the real kind of classics, like...
Is Varla...
Varla Jean is at Art House.
Nice venues.
Dina Martina. They're not. No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they're often very... I mean, they're charming venues.
Okay.
Because they're not like, you know, often the sight lines are like, the stage is like, I can hardly stand up on them in heels. You know, they're often not the best.
Yeah, but also, how tall are you?
I'm a big bitch.
Yeah,
I mean, if I'm in like a nice shoe, I'm close to 7 feet. But, you know.
Yeah.
You can see, I mean, they have like the Ladies of Illusions, which is a very classic drag show that's been running for years and years and years and years. You can see Ms. Richfield, Dina Martina. I mean, it's like these are classic, iconic, gay entertainers that know their shit. So it's kind of mind-blowing to
And are you part of a boylesque troupe?
No, I'm actually, I work with the Atomic Bombshells every year, which I'm their token boy, well, myself and Lou Henry Hoover. Mm-hmm. But this year we're actually working with, it's a 4-person show this year, which is a little bit different. It's Kitten, LaRue, Lou, and then Shardana, who's a really amazing drag queen from Seattle.
Oh, Shardana's doing it this year?
Yeah, so it's going to be kind of a really special
crew
thing. Yeah, it's not really going to be like a burlesque show, it's more of just like a show.
Are there any coupons I can clip to afford
this? Do you have the coupons for that show? Like,
no, but you might get a coupon for the lobster roll across the street.
Yeah.
I'll give you half off, basically. Why not?
All right.
Just make sure
coupon. A coupon clipper.
I would
here.
Like a physical coupon for that.
A physical
please.
Coupon. You better set up your tent in the backyard and see who comes.
Me.
Yeah. A physical coupon.
I'll make a physical coupon to.
But it is a magical fucking town.
I want to come and see this show. I wanted to go last year so bad. You guys had a fun lineup last year too.
Had a great lineup last year. I'm really thankful to be there. It's a wonderful vacation work opportunity.
And you said you're working on a one-man show?
I mean, I've been playing around with the idea for quite a while. I feel like one-man show for me is kind of like,
Involving impersonations. You had this idea you've been working on for a very long time. Right?
Yeah, I've been working on this concept of doing, because I like to do impressions of people, but often when I do it, there's no real context at all. So I want to do a show based on impressions of people that no one's ever met before. Because I feel like you can't go wrong.
No, you know, it's can't like, fuck that up.
You can just do whatever you want to do. So, yeah, I've been working on that concept, building that for a while, and I don't think that full concept is like a one show, but it's a major chunk of the work I've been building. So, yeah,
it's
genius. Thank you.
Agreed.
Is there anyone that you can tell us that you maybe have?
Well, there's one
idea.
There's one woman named Tish who is a very seasoned drag queen from Provincetown, actually. I can't even do the voice right now because it's a thing.
Yeah.
But it's just...
What if we look away? Would that be easier if we don't look?
Yeah.
Okay
just don't
away.
Look.
Okay, we're not looking.
So, okay, hold on. You can look for a second. Let me preface this with, in Provincetown, people often, because it's right on the water, everyone at some point gets what we call the Cape Cod crud, which is like kind of like the sniffles or like a sore throat.
Ooh.
So, okay, you can keep looking. But she talks like this. Like, if she's sick, she'll go, yeah, and I'm going up in the store. I'm going to get some of that tussin because my throat's sore. So I need tussin. So she always talks about getting tussin, the Robitussin. And it's like, it's a very hoarse voice. But I've come to find that I don't think that that's her sick voice. I just think that's her voice.
Right.
And do you just think she likes Robo Trip?
I do actually. She that's kind of funny.
Like Elvis.
And she,
yeah.
Wait, Elvis liked to robo-trip?
Yeah, he never. yeah, Elvis didn't drink or do drugs.
He liked to robo-trip.
But he was really into cough syrup.
That's funny.
That was his main jam until pills took over. Well, pharmaceuticals.
NyQuil.
But illegal drugs. He never did legal drugs and he never drank alcohol.
He never drank alcohol. That's surprising.
No, he drank cough syrup.
But is this
same thing?
Are you doing an imitation of someone who's not famous, or are you creating characters?
Oh no, these are all real people
that inspired you.
They're just not well known.
Oh, I'm not making them up.
Oh, so you're doing? I got gotcha.
Impressions of fake people who other people have never heard of before.
Gotcha.
That's yeah.
Amazing.
All right. I wasn't quite following.
Then I feel like it's a pretty low expectation, right?
Yeah.
Got it.
So I can be like, that's actually exactly what she sounds like.
But
so.
Then you're also storytelling. Taking something
well,
out of your actual life.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not just going to stand up and do, like, you know, 30 minutes of, like, and then there's, you know, this guy. Get ready for it. Or maybe I will.
Will there be looks that, like, look changes that go with these?
I think I'm going to change posture, not real class.
Oh,
you know,
interesting.
On my radio show, I've been doing crank calls.
Oh, God.
Yes, they're so good,
yeah,
too.
I have this one guy, I call him Big Ben.
Yes.
He talks like this. He's a very overweight man. And I crank call McDonald's.
Oh my God. Should we do a prank call? Can we do that?
I would love to.
Why don't we prank call Domino's?
And Chick-fil-A.
And Chick-fil-A.
I think you should prank call.
Prank call Domino's as Big Ben.
I want to call Chick-fil-A.
Because the thing is, like, you know, McDonald's is extremely unhealthy. So my thing with Big Ben is, like, okay, my doctor said I have to write down everything I eat. So what exactly is it? Is it a Big Mac? And then I start sexualizing it.
Oh no!
So when she says sesame seeds, I go, oh yeah, the seed goes on the bun.
Oh no!
At least this isn't like some poor girl struggling for a minimum wage at the McDonald's. This is like corporate.
Yeah, this is corporate.
Oh, because in my mind, I'm like, of course not. It's a very successful person working behind the counter. Not struggling at all.
It's a lot of fun. And they often ask, is this a legitimate business call? And then I return, and then I go back with, are you shaming me because I'm fat?
God.
And they're being recorded, so then they can't.
Yeah, they're being monitored.
Yeah. So they're like, oh no, sir, I'm sorry. It's just something I had to ask.
Oh, Jesus. So, it's.
Whatever floats your boat, Facebook.
Do you have your phone on?
I've got my hobbies.
Yeah, I do. Who should we call?
You want to, first off, I guess, Google Chick-fil-A.
Okay. I wonder at this time, they're probably either in church.
I think they're open.
I would imagine they're just at church if they're not at work.
What about the actual venue?
The venue?
Let's do Chick-fil-A and do like
the actual venue.
I know, it's
do like just the gayest boys possible.
Yeah.
What would that sound like?
Eric Schmalberger.
Oh, oh my God!
Shit.
Who can
I was like, we should. That's the thing. If anything, we just need to. We should be prank calling Eric Schmallenberger on a number he doesn't have.
Like, call Chick-fil-A. What's like the nicest thing I could have in my mouth right now?
I'd like a wing. I'd like a bread.
Do you have chicken dildar? Oh no, that's an Indian dish. Sorry.
Another wine.
Oh yes, please
refresh. Drinking those. I drank two of those
Sophia cans.
I drank two of those cans of the thing of the dark and stormy thing.
Yeah.
Can I try one more later?
You can have as many as you want.
I just feel bad blowing.
They're very low dose. They're not like they're only like 7% alcohol.
It's like a treat.
Yeah.
As opposed to what you got for me, because you know me.
Yes, I got you some heavy stuff.
The heavy stuff.
Yeah. Hard and strong like his
name. Do you want me to get
Oh Lord
get
Jesus.
One?
Oh sure.
I would love one too.
Yeah,
actually.
You want one of the dark and strong?
Oh no, no, I want
a Sophia.
Yeah.
She wants a Sophia.
Yeah.
Now that I'm paying
weight. Oh yeah. The little cans of
the tiny black
the tiny
cans.
I'll have some fruit wine.
Oh, of course.
Do you watch Schitt's Creek?
Our show is so organized.
Have you watched Schitt's Creek?
Wait. Which one is that?
It is severely.
Oh, wait, is the family? Wait, is this Catherine O'Hara, right?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
It is such a fucking hilarious show.
Yes.
Oh my god, it's so good.
It's good. That's for sure.
Fruit wine.
There you go. There you go.
Service.
Thank
you. Oh, wait,
no.
This little one's yours. That's yours. This is yours.
Oh, we get to open them in the microphone.
I wish that I could find a cocktail waitressing job somewhere, just like where I could show up in drag and cocktail waitress and kind of do whatever I want, but cocktail waitress, I've done that once and I had a great time, but it was at an event where no one was tipping me. I was like still even having more fun than all the other people working. It was an Atlas Obscura event and it was like casino themed and they were like, oh yeah, we want you to come in like think like 1950s. Casino glamorous. So I came in like this beautiful 50s dress and all the other girls, it was like me and three biological women burlesque performers, and they all showed up in like showgirl costumes and I was like, oh, I'm just in like this beautiful 50s like metallic brown dress and crazy hat. And
that's then, appropriate though.
Well,
that's
I thought so. I thought so. Yeah. So then I ended up actually being the only one who was cocktail waitress. They were more
like being nostalgic.
Yeah. I was thinking like, oh, I would have worn this too.
What is
a casino?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So when you go out at night or during the day for like a gig,
yes,
and you're dressing yourself to go out for work, do you find that there's a major difference between the way you dress then compared to the way you dress during the day? As far as like, obviously, if the gig merits something different. Like for myself, I'm asking because like for the Mr. Gorgeous character that I do, I very much like switch the costuming to fit that, but it's like I'm that personality all the time. Mm-hmm. I just don't wear. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that a weird question?
No, I like for me, I wear a dress every day because stepping into one garment is easier than putting on two or three. I'm like, I'm genderqueer by laziness. I'm like, oh, I can put on an overall skirt and a shirt and it doesn't
matter.
Looks
good
and people like it. They're like, oh, you look so good. And I'm like, this is my version of sweatpants.
But that's why I'm asking, because like even with this, I'm like, wow, that was really, I like it. It has a lot of, there's a choice. You made a choice. Like I put on a t-shirt often most days, and I got my dollar Old Navy flip-flops the other day, so I usually wear the, you know, it's like I don't put much consideration into my daily.
I guess I lately kind of started using the term for myself as a lifestyle drag queen, where I do all 1950s drag. My entire apartment is 1950s. I wear 50s clothes, men or women's, every day. So that's, I haven't worn flat shoes by choice in at least a year and a half.
Wow.
I injured my knee. Good old stripper knee got me. And I had to wear flat shoes for like a month. And it
changed your muscles when you do
it
that.
It made me really mad and I hated everything.
Wow.
Wearing flat shoes makes me mad. I don't like it.
Oh,
so when I had to step out of my everyday glamour comfort zone, I was not pleased. But like at night, I save my super fitted dresses, my metallics and anything shiny.
Right.
And then I have a lot of like house dresses for the daytime. And if I'm going and running errands, I'll do like a little 50s like skirt suit or something.
Yeah.
Like if it's like chillier out.
Yeah.
But I guess, yeah, because I consider myself a lifestyle queen. And I used to be I liked the difference between Mame as a performer and Shane during the daytime.
Yeah.
And I had years where people didn't know who I was when I was out of drag, which I liked.
Yeah, that happened to me.
And then it stopped happening, and people knew what I looked like out of drag and in drag, so that's when it kind of made that changeover to be like, okay, well, now that people like recognize, like people that I've seen at the bar for years are recognizing me out of drag, I want to keep up that glamour illusion a little bit, because I don't want to like drop it off completely.
Yeah.
And now that's evolved into like dresses every day and things like that, and styling my hair and all those things, which I kind of find
well
fun.
You're not just doing a nighttime look all the time, you're doing
I have my days and my night looks. They are.
Right now, you definitely have a very girly appearance, but it's definitely a day look too.
Yeah, this is what I wear, like, because I've been making wigs lately, and this is my wig making outfit because it has big pockets that I can like put like clips and combs and things like that.
Is it vintage?
And, no, my friend Holden Busey, she's a seamstress and bartender. She made this for herself. She made a black one and a blue denim one. And she didn't like the fabric of the black one. And she had to make me one anyway. So she's like, well, you can take the black one because I hate that fabric. And I was like, oh, thank God. Now I don't have to go buy fabric for it.
Oh, that's perfect.
But she made it and I love it. And everyone always is like, oh my God, where can I buy one? And I was like, well, you can talk to Holden. She's not going to make you one, but you can talk to her.
Right.
She hates sewing.
Or just hope she gets shitty fabric and wants to
and
pass it off
to,
at
yeah,
some point.
Needs to pass it off to someone else. But I've been trying to sew for myself lately, but I'm so lazy.
Oh.
I'm so lazy. I hate cutting fabric out. That's my thing. You must have like a studio because you do. You are a costume maker and performer. Both.
That's yeah.
So you have like a
yeah. I have
table.
A separate workspace. Yeah,
you have
separate.
A cutting table. I
yeah.
imagine.
Separate room.
No, I have a studio space in Westchester. That
oh,
I go
that's
to.
Great.
Yeah, so it's really good. It's
oh, wow.
Yeah. So, It's actually kind of nice. So it's friends of mine that own have a really nice property there. They have quite a bit of space, so they've let me take over a section of it. And it's nice because it takes a minute to get there. You have to take metro.
You're going to work.
So I go to work, and then I usually put in a nice chunk of time, and then I come home from work instead of, you know, going to bed with like scraps of fabric and thread stuck to my feet that come into the bedroom. You know, it's like it's kind of nice to have a little
yeah.
difference.
Wig hair.
Oh,
God. An even
yeah.
less fun one to pull out of like every like
do you have
every
any animals?
Nook
do you have any
cramp.
Cats or
no, I don't have any animals. And now it's like a conscious thing where I'm like I sew occasionally. I should be sewing more. And I'm really bad about dropping pins. And I know cats will get into sewing pins.
Oh, and
just
the
wings.
Hair, I was gonna say the
well,
wig
and then,
hair too.
Well the wig hair is yeah, so bad. So all of it's just like I can never have an animal. Until someday I'll be rich and get my Devon Rex cat,
yes.
and I'll have a separate studio for my
mm-hmm.
sewing, and then I'll
there you go.
Then I'll have a cat just like Dita's cat, which I'm obsessed with because he's so beautiful. He's just the most beautiful cat.
You mentioned RuPaul earlier, the drag race.
Oh yes.
What are your feelings about season 9?
Everyone has been giving season 9 a bunch of shit, saying it was not a exciting season to watch, and I guess I'm a little biased in that Sasha is someone I've known for a few years now and really love
Sasha
watching
Velour.
Sasha Velour.
Yeah.
I love watching her perform. I think she is super talented, a great producer, and a great artist. So I was just like sitting every episode waiting for any second of her on the screen, which they didn't give her very much screen time, which is weird for a winner. To not have like the winner's edit.
Yeah,
like,
she never lip synced for her life.
She did it, which is that's like one of her strongest like things. She's a great lip syncer. That is, and we saw that on the finale episode.
Oh yeah,
because she really
down.
Did like kill it in that. And people were mad that they brought in this like twist of the lip syncs on the last episode because everyone's like, oh, Shay would have won, and they made it so Shay couldn't. And I'm like, why? Why would, like,
how is that
there was so many people,
so Shay couldn't.
I don't know, because Shay also, like, slayed every lip sync that she did.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, it kind of, like, easily could have been a setup for her to win and her to succeed, because she is such a strong lip syncer, and we saw that on the show.
Diehard Shay fans with some sour grapes.
There, yeah, and it happens every season like that, but this year, I guess I got hit a little closer to home, and I was like,
yeah.
No. Fuck you. Don't speak ill of my Sasha. And I performed at her show, Nightgowns, and it's really just a beautifully put together.
Well, I was on Team Sasha from episode 1 on.
She looked great on every challenge. I think the only look that I didn't love, which I did like it, but I wasn't in love with that, like, the white look. The, like, it was the all-white challenge. Everybody had to come out in all-white looks.
Mm.
And she had like a really great 80s sequin dress with like a peplum and a white wig.
It's funny, I remember most of her looks, but I don't remember that.
And so that was like probably.
I was gonna say, if it's forgettable, that's a problem in itself.
Yeah. So like that was her least strong look. But the rest of them, she really did kill it. And she very much has her aesthetic, which nowadays in the realm of drag, because drag is like 50% an Instagram sport and 50% live. Actively doing drag and performing,
yeah.
You have to kind of have your like brand of what you do. Mm-hmm. I'm happy she won, and I think it was very well deserved. But I am biased.
Are you a Facebook? Are you a RuPaul watcher?
I watch with Velocity.
Yes. Yeah.
I have great respect.
But I don't really have to twist his arm.
Yeah. I
well, he's obviously got tapes.
Right.
He's hanging out with us and will enjoy it. So.
You know, it's funny. I don't know. I've never met Sasha Velour. Mm-hmm. I've never seen her perform live. But you know when there's something, and I don't think it's done. I don't think you can really do this through like, oh, she got good edits. She just comes across as a person that actually genuinely would give two shits, which... is something I think that's like super, super unique and easy to forget that it's nice when there's someone that comes across like in the main, like Bianca's a great example of someone who Bianca can be like on stage the biggest fucking hateiest bitch ever. But at the end of the day, she kind of bends over backwards. I've never not seen her be genuinely helpful and respectful of people after she's done ripping their asshole apart.
Yeah.
Same thing with kind of Sasha. It's like, I get the vibe from her that she would be someone who is just actually genuinely trying to do something great for our community, which is really, really refreshing. And like I said, I just get that from her from watching the show, which I don't know if it's a reasonable way to feel from just watching a TV show, but I'm really happy that she won.
We're just going off of what you see.
Yeah.
And like having experience with her, that is totally true though. Like how she functions in her show nightgowns. It started at Bazaar, which is a teeny tiny bar that a lot of burlesque performers do step at, and she got a show there and it slowly grew to be a thing. And she brings in performers of every level and every like background, and it's always a great show. And then now she's moved on to this big venue, and the production value is fantastic. The projection screen is, I think, like 27 feet by 17 feet.
Wow.
And everybody is encouraged to do projection for it, and like they really help you like fully realize what you want that performance to be. Because I had injured my knee right before I did nightgowns when it moved to the new venue. So I wasn't able to do my original performance because I couldn't move around on stage. So I...
Is that when you had to wear flats?
Okay, I didn't wear flats to that. I wore...
Oh, God.
No, I wore Polly's, which are my lowest shoes.
I love Polly's.
I love my Polly's, but they're my, like, lowest. Because my standard performing shoe is a 6-inch mule with no platform.
And for those who don't know, Polly's are a Polly of California.
People that like the lattice.
Oh. Polly of California.
People that like a lot of sex all the time.
That too.
Yeah, they're very slutty shoes. They remind me of candies from the 70s.
Yeah, they always check in with each other's feelings before they do it.
Well, one of the things that I love about RuPaul and have mad respect for him or her, because he doesn't fucking care if you say he or she, is... his age. He's 56 years old. And
that's
one, looks fantastic.
I was like, wow. That means Lady Bunny's only around that age? I thought Lady Bunny must be at like 80 or 90 by now.
One, looks fantastic.
That's what you get.
I insult Lady Bunny and then spill my drink all over myself. So.
And then severely spill a little bit of a fruit wine.
My fruit
and
wine.
Then two.
And two, as the only person in this room above 50, I know the shit she's gone through. I know that it's not the same world as it is now. It's not the same acceptance. Mm-hmm. I know the battle I know the shame. I know the pride. And we talked about the pride parade earlier. It's you get pride from overcoming the shame that is put upon you when you're someone of this age.
Yeah. And Faceboy, we're about to move into part two of our show this evening. Before we segue into part two, where could we find you online and your fabulous show, your Saturday show on Radio Free Brooklyn?
You can find me at faceboy.com. It's that simple, faceboy.com. You can find all of my Art Star Scene radio episodes are available there, and all the different things I do are available there, and you can also write to me there. And Art Star Scene Radio is live every Saturday night at 7 p.m. There's going to be a very special edition on the 9th of July, where I'm going to premiere an album that I recorded in 1993.
Fabulous.
And I buried it because I thought it was crap. And then I listened to it again just 2 weeks ago, and I was like, this is fucking awesome. And so that... Tune in July 9th, and tune in every single week. Next week, I'm going to have a guest, Bella X, first time on my show, and thank you for asking.
Absolutely. Mr. Gorgeous?
I probably, if you just want to see pictures of me being narcissistic, go to...
Yeah, pictures of me just looking totally fucking hot.
Yeah, like, sometimes I show my butt a little bit.
My suggestion.
No, I like Instagram. That's my thing. And my Instagram is Gorgeous Boylesque. I am on Facebook, but I feel like Facebook is so toxic, I don't really go on it. It's just not the thing
just
for me.
Just avoid the public thread and you're okay.
That's true. So if you send me a message on there, I probably won't ever see it.
But DMing some nudes on
Instagram. Send me some DPs. Show me what you're working with. What? It's this fruit wine. It gets me every time.
Fruit wine, yeah. And severely maimed.
I am.
Oh, part two is going to be hilarious.
I'm at severely maimed on Instagram.
Yes.
At severely maimed.
SEVERELYMAME.
Yes.
Everyone struggles with the spelling of that one. Everyone skips the last E.
It's
severely
tricky.
Yeah. And also, people pronounce it wrong constantly. They always say severely. And I'm like, nope. And then people call me severely, which I'm like, no, MAME is the
name. I've
gotten
Bello
in
City.
My... Oh.
Yeah.
Bello City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people always think that, like, they call me severely, and I'm like, you are lacking a reference of Auntie MAME right now.
I like...
That's, like, MAME is the name part of MAME.
How can you also leave the E off the end of that? I love when it's, like, oldie, timey, candy, shoppy. And they put an E at the end of everything. It just makes it better.
I agree. The more E, the better. And if you ask anyone who goes to raves, they'll agree. That was a drug joke.
Bitch.
And folks, if you enjoy what you hear and you'd like to support independent, censorship-free radio, especially in these times, please go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge, and you can pledge as little as $1 a month. And I'm Velocity Child for Fallen Woman at Radio Free Brooklyn. Archive episodes available at fallenwoman.com. And everybody raise a glass. Fruity wine.
Fruity wine.
Thanks, Miss Whiskey.
Bang, bang. seasons came, changed the time. I grew up, I called him mine. He would always laugh and say, remember when we used to play? Bang, bang, I shot you down. Bang, bang, you hit the ground. Bang, bang, that awful sound. Bang, bang, I used to shoot you down. He didn't take the time to lie. Bang.